This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
For your chance to win a pair of tickets. Wow, what is this, Depeche?
And Chris Ello.
Iggy Rosario got a couple of at-bats last year. Brent Rooker got some at-bats.
Eggy
Rosario, I said Iggy.
that needs to be a promo as well.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes!
Plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
And welcome to it, San Diego. Happy Wednesday to ya. Kicking things off here for a four-hour show. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scraby is idle today. Nick DiNucci is filling in for Mr. Scraby. Nick, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. You do not have a lot to live up to. So just hang in there. Follow along with us for the next 4 hours. We got a good one lined up for you today. We got all the bases covered for you, including the World Series, of course. AJ Cassavell, our Padre writer from MLB.com will be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. But before we get to him, we'll talk some NFL with former NFL two-time Super Bowl winning cornerback Bryant McFadden. Played with the Steelers many years, also the Arizona Cardinals. He works for CBS Radio. He will join us today. And we'll also get into some basketball later. That'll make Tony Gwynn Jr. happy. His Lakers are in Cleveland tonight, which means LeBron James is returning home.
Which means we'll be watching some basketball here today, too.
I have a feeling I will lose your attention at about 4 o'clock today when the Lakers tip things off. But former Clipper NBA analyst Jim Brogan will talk some basketball with us. So we got all of that stuff coming up, along with our regular stuff, Daily Gambit, Chris vs. the Fan, Big Five. And I got to tell you, it feels pretty liberating, Tony, to be in here without Scraby lording over me.
Yeah, well,
more relaxed than usual.
He's not here to take any shots, to lord over
no
you.
No kidding, man.
Or say something completely egregious.
Or just complain bitterly about everything going on in the world.
Yeah,
so we will have a happy show today, or at least we will intend to do that. We can start with the happiness that is the fact the Dodgers have not yet clinched the World Series. The Yankees are going to make them work for it a little bit. New York takes game 4 last night, Tony, 11-4. First, I want to address this, though. Big headlines everywhere today, LA Times, etc. Dodgers, just go ahead and punt on game 4. I'm getting tired of this, that evidently the Dodgers are so good now that they can just choose when to lose. They said the very same thing every time they lost a game to the Mets. In the NLCS, apparently they only lost to the Padres on purpose, for all I know. I understand that they did not use their best relievers last night. They were behind. Normally, when you're behind, you don't use your best guy. Secondly, did they tell all of their batters to take the night off as well? I mean, other than Freddie Freeman's home run, which is a guarantee, it seems, you know, Dodgers didn't do much. Yankees bullpen allowed only one hit over the final five innings, shut them down. So, you know, this whole notion that the Dodgers are losing on purpose is taking away, to me, the credit of the other team, which the Yankees give them credit, man. They've been knocked down for three games. They got off the mat last night, Tony.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, as oftentimes, you know, we sensationalize this time of year because we know how important it is. And so, you know, it lends itself to these type of headlines where it just seems like the Dodgers are just picking and choosing when they want to win and lose.
Yes.
And that's, we know that's not the case, right? Matter of fact, the Dodgers weren't even capable of this until they beat the Padres. And now all of a sudden they beat the Padres and now they can dictate when they win and lose. Now, I get what you're saying. But, Chris, you kind of defined it perfectly. Typically, every team who is losing a ball game does not use their best relievers.
You don't bring your closer in the fourth inning when you're down 6-3 something.
It has never worked that way, and it hasn't worked that way in the playoffs. And just because we're in it, we have had that headline multiple times now. The Dodgers are punting. No,
they're just giving up.
They're not giving up. Had they had the lead, you would have seen best guys.
If they would have led 4-2 in the sixth inning, you would have seen Gratterall.
Right.
You would have seen Vesia. You would have seen, you know, obviously Trinan to close.
Right. You'd have seen all.
So thank you. The Yankees get the credit. They shook off the Freeman home run in the first inning, and they were able to come back. And Volpe. Look, I mean, that inning in the third inning was about to be yet another Yankee disaster, right? You had bases loaded, one out, and Rizzo pops up to shortstop, and you're thinking, well, we've seen this all series. Yankees get a chance finally to score, and they waste it, but only they didn't waste it. I mean, give credit to Anthony Volpe. He hits the grand slam, Tony, an inning after one of the more embarrassing adventures on the bases we've seen in the World Series in a long time. The guy does not score from second base on a double off the top of the fence. And he had to be embarrassed about it. I think everybody else kind of was too, you know, but he shook it off. Next AB, opportunity presented itself, slammed one into the seats. And, you know, look, Yankee Stadium is I had never really thought of Yankee Stadium in this light before, Tony. But there were at least, I would say, three home runs hit last night, including Freddie Freeman's. But I think Volpe and the one that Gleyber Torres hit as well, which wouldn't have been out of the ballpark in any other ballpark in baseball. So, you know, you got to take advantage of what you got there. Volpe, you know, hit it into the second row there, and it turned the game around. And then when the Dodgers came back on him, the Yankees bullpen was able to hold the door. So I give them full credit.
They deserve it.
You know, we've talked about this. Teams that go down 3-0 in the World Series, 89% of the time they lose the fourth game and it's over.
Right.
Yankees,
there's only been, a few that have gotten to a game.
Only a few have changed that narrative, and the Yankees did that last night. And now they have their best pitcher, Gerrit Cole, who I felt had the Dodgers pretty well under control in game one. I don't see any reason why he can't, you know, keep them at bay again. And, you know, if the Yankees win the second game, I don't want to say all bets are off because I know the Dodgers will be coming home. But, you know, the old story, Tony, you give somebody a little momentum, that can take you a long way. So
I think the other thing is it buys them another game for Aaron Judge to figure out who looked a little bit better.
A little better,
last night. Had the RBI.
Yeah.
He didn't punch out in yesterday's game. So, you know, that's the thing that is the wild card.
Yeah, the Dodgers want to get to the finish line before Judge wakes up.
Because if Judge wakes up, because listen, what I think is pretty apparent is I don't see Ohtani waking up in the same way because he's
hurt.
He's hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's any question about it. And so if I'm the Dodgers, I want to get this thing over quickly because the last thing you want is for Judge to get hot. You already know Soto's pretty much swinging a bat. Torres is swinging a bat all right at the top. You don't need any variables, extra variables to pop up right now.
The guy that woke up last night was Austin Wells. He had been about 4 for 60 in the playoffs, and then he homers and he doubles off the top of the wall. Yeah, I mean, so this crazy notion that the Dodgers phoned the game in last night on purpose is so stupid. And, you know, everybody keeps going with it, including our favorite guy, Ken Rosenthal, who probably applaud Dave Roberts again for losing on purpose as he did in the National League Championship Series. So,
listen, I think the term punt may have been used, right? But it starts, when it's said over and over again, it starts to feel like, oh, okay, these guys are picking and choosing when they're winning. But that's just not the case.
They're good.
Punt in the terms of, yeah, we don't have a starter, so we're going to run these relievers out here. But we're still trying to win this game until it gets out of hand.
No, you hit it right. If they were to have been leading, they would have used all the relievers.
No doubt.
They would not have punted the game, but they were not winning. And so they brought in their other guys, and our old friend Honeywell had a difficult eighth inning there. But so anyway, good on the Yankees. I mean, the series is going. We got another game tonight. It'll be Cole. It'll be Flaherty. And, you know, we'll see what happens as this thing. Maybe the Yankees are able to. I like the Yankees' attitude. They said, look, the Dodgers are going back to Los Angeles. We want to make sure we're going with them. And, you know, I think
that's right.
The attitude you got to have. And we'll see. Now, we got unimportant stuff about last night's game
Do we want to hold on this? Because I feel like this next one could be worth
you
a full segment.
You want to hold on to this? I mean, we can hold on to the next segment, but the notion, this whole crazy play in right field with Mookie Betts has everybody chomping at the bit. So we'll get into that in the next segment here. But, you know, look, the World Series is alive and well. And, you know, we'll see. The Grand Slam rate in this postseason has been crazy. I think there's been 7 or 8 Grand Slams.
Yeah.
And, you know, so is the Yankees' turn to get one last night.
It has been the big homer that has kind of
won these games.
It's been homers ultimately that have been the big piece to the wins that each of the teams have had.
What can you say about Freddie Freeman other than the fact that there is nothing that any Dodger player could do tonight, and that would include, to me, Flaherty throwing a no-hitter.
to take
the MVP award away from Freddie Freeman if the Dodgers win, right?
I would have said so.
Homered in every game, you know. I mean, the Yankees ought to consider rolling the ball up there in the first inning tonight so he doesn't hit another two-run homer. But we've seen guys, everybody locks in.
Yeah,
but to lock in like he is right now at this time, this is the stuff that makes you a legend in the game, doesn't it?
The mere fact that he was, you know, playing in the first series,
right?
Like he had no business playing. And, you know, quite frankly, I think he probably, you know, he had to sit out a couple games in the series against the Pods, the series against the Mets. And so, you know, I think health is a big reason why he's popped up the way he has, or popped out, I should say, the way he has in this World Series. And as I said yesterday, man, Freddie has always been one of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, this dude it was a story that he left the Braves for a reason. Like they couldn't believe they let him go.
Yeah, he couldn't believe that he left there. He did not love it. He's not like a lot of the, I don't want to say, but a lot of the money-chasing free agents who just look for the highest bidder and are ecstatic to take it, I always felt like Freddie Freeman really wanted Atlanta. He did not. I mean, the Dodgers gave him a great salary, but I didn't feel like he ever really wanted to even go.
Do you remember how Kershaw felt when they went back to Atlanta and it was a little bit too chummy? Because clearly,
yes, right. I do remember that.
He didn't want to leave Atlanta, and so. To see him on this stage now, especially considering all the things he's been through this season, it'll be pretty tough to take it away from him. I don't know that anybody's going to be able to do enough in one game to take it away from him.
No, he's got it locked up. You know, Otani is in the lineup, if you're wondering. The Dodgers are not going to make a change there, but he's clearly hurting. You saw it last night on that ground ball when he was on first base and he had to hold his shoulder in place.
Yeah.
And he still almost beat the play at second. You know, I got to give the guy a lot of credit. I mean, I think a lot of guys would not be playing under these circumstances.
But, again, you see the tone is set by your leaders on that team. Freddie Freeman trying to gut through that first portion.
That gets Ohtani to do the same thing.
How can you not show up? You know what I'm saying?
Good point. Yeah, Betts is in there. They did change the bottom of the order a little bit. The Dodgers, Edmund, Will Smith will hit eighth. Gavin Lux drops to ninth. Yankees stay with the exact same lineup they had last night, which is no surprise. Garrett Cole, Jack Flaherty, that is a game number 5 now of the World Series. All right, we'll take our first break, and when we come back, we will address, I guess you're going to call it interference gate or stupid fan
gate.
Yeah, stupid fan gate, however you want to. We'll discuss all of that and everything that's come out of that. If you haven't heard, we'll update you and get this show on the road. Bryant McFadden from CBS Sports, NFL analyst, former Super Bowl winner, joins us to take us around the NFL also in this hour. So stick around. It's Chris Ello, it's Tony Gwynn Jr., and Nick DiNucci in there for Scraby today. And like I said earlier, Nick, small shoes to fill.
You'll be good, brother. You'll be good.
You'll be good. Relax. Enjoy yourself. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, not here.
Yeah, baby.
We're enjoying ourselves today.
No kidding.
Nick DiNucci on the ones and twos, replacing
Matt. And we might get lucky, too, because, I mean, he's probably going to throw his shoulder out
trying
to golf today.
So he'll be in here tomorrow with a sling
expecting
on.
I'm expecting that tweet or a text any moment now.
I hope it's not the surgically repaired.
It will be.
That's what we're counting on.
I see how this is going
to go. For him to throw that out of whack today. Hopefully he does it while he's angry with himself for a bad shot, you know, and he throws his club or something and
doing what Scraby does.
Being angry about something. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so let's talk about it. Speaking of being angry about something, last night was really one of the first baseball examples we've had on a subject that Chris and I talk about often on this show. Unruly fan behavior since the pandemic that we've noticed has really taken off. And typically, you deal with this in basketball where you're a little bit closer. You deal with it maybe in some football elements, but that's usually fan-on-fan type deal.
Right. Fan-on-fan, yes. There's too many examples of that.
But this one is unique. And, you know, as a lover of baseball, I'm very happy that it was Mookie Betts that was the guy that was enduring it.
Because, and why is that? Why?
Because of his level-headedness.
You think he's classy enough to not have done something crazy, which many other outfielders could have done
there. A lot of other outfielders.
Yeah, right.
And so I'll start there. Because he didn't react to it in a way that I think many people would have, we're only talking about it from this standpoint of two fans being idiots, basically.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Tony. I didn't even think of this. It could have been a lot bigger of a deal.
If Mookie had come down with the ball and his wrist and arm is stuck up there and he reacts by climbing that wall and taking a swing or even swinging his glove at the fan, we'd be having a different conversation, because who knows what that leads to at that point. I don't know if you guys remember, I can't remember how long ago, but it was Rangers and Athletics. Do you remember the situation where some players kind of like right in the cusp of going in the stands at this point? I don't know if you guys remember. This was maybe maybe 2008, 9, 10, somewhere in that.
I don't.
Somewhere in that. But it was an ugly time. It was an ugly incident for baseball. Thankfully, as I said, Mookie Betts didn't react other than really to get the call. That's what he was most concerned about.
When he finally extracted himself, his arm was still attached.
Right, right.
And I think that's, you know, the thing. I mean, I'm reading tweets from people that are quoting these idiots.
Oh yeah, please read those.
You know, who are saying, hey, anybody comes into our area of the field, we're playing defense. And people are posting this like, you know, these guys are, you know, should be celebrated in some way for trying to help their team win. This Mookie Betts, by all rights, should have had his shoulder pulled out of he could miss the rest of the World Series on something this stupid, and he's really lucky he didn't. And I'm not all about, you know, well, you know, let's just, you know, don't worry about stuff that didn't happen, but you talk about affecting something and making your game look really, really bad.
It looked like in real time something was about to happen, right? I mean, the way his arm is up on that, I don't know what railing at that point.
Yeah, ledge maybe.
It looked like his wrist was in jeopardy there for a second. Now, you can't tell how hard that's actually happened, but I do know Mookie Betts was fully stretched out. It wasn't like he had any bend in his elbow.
You're already in that sensitive position.
He's in a sensitive spot.
Right. So if he gets
and
hit
for
there,
these,
like,
I beg you guys to go back and look at a couple still shots. This is how outrageous. First of all, the mere fact that my man was holding Mookie Betts' offhand wrist and the other guy is prying the baseball out of the glove, that's one thing. But if you take a couple clicks down, which is towards the right field wall, there is some guy in the stands with a full-on Evil Shield wrist-sliding handguard on. And I'm bringing that up to say, boy, oh boy, you think you're really involved in this game if you are showing up as a full, live, grown adult with a sliding, you know, the oven mitt that these guys wear on baseball?
Yep.
There's a dude with an oven mitt on in the stands.
It's like turquoise.
Like, coach, I'm ready to run anytime you need me to.
Well, the other crazy thing was these guys actually started getting into it with the umpire trying to plead their case.
Yes,
and the umpire
trying to tell the umpire the rule.
Yeah, they were in the stand. He was in the stands. We have every right to do what we did. I'm really upset, honestly, with the final fallout of this, or at least what's being reported. These two fans are banned from the game tonight. There's no word on whether that ban could be longer or not. First of all, it should be forever, as far as I'm concerned. I don't need to see these guys in any game.
But secondly,
they're saying they're going to refund their ticket money.
That's even worse.
For what?
Yeah, you don't.
Why do you get
refund
your money back?
Nah.
There
should be some repercussions to wrestling the ball out of a player's hand. You paid money to watch the game.
Yes, you did.
Not to be a part
of
the game.
Or to compromise the integrity of the competition.
Come on, man. This shouldn't even be a question.
On top of potentially hurting Mookie, too, for sure. It's not necessary.
Here's the kicker. I happen to be scrolling today, looking for different things set on it. Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Oh, that's another angle.
This
guy is his friend.
This guy. Rob Gronkowski points out that this guy went to Arizona while he was there. He was on the hockey team.
Unbelievable.
And before, I don't know the young lady's name who was hosting the show, before she kind of put him on the spot, we had a guy like Rob Gronkowski cheering this as well. And it wasn't until the young lady kind of reeled him back in and was like, so I just want to make it clear, you're not actually condoning what is happening. And he kind of caught himself. He was having fun with it, but I think he wasn't realizing what he was actually saying.
Right.
But, I mean, the mere fact that there are so many people, you know, and this ain't even a Padre-Dodger thing. There are too many people celebrating the fact that these fans did what they did.
Oh, there's photos of these guys. I think people want to get their autographs.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
It just says a lot about where we're at.
Knowing what we know about our outfielders here in San Diego, what do you think would have happened if that would have happened to Jerickson?
Profar?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Nobody in Dodger Stadium even touched Jerickson. He went a little crazy. I could see Fernando having a reaction two.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you know, this was so embarrassing, and it puts a bad light on all fans.
How about the Yankees initially were going to allow them back for Game 5? It wasn't until Major League Baseball
Tony Clark had to get involved in
reached
that.
Out and said, "Hey, I think we should probably not have these guys for Game 5. Now, after Game 5, they buy themselves some time because the series shifts back to L.A.
So there won't be any games back in New York for a while.
There won't be any games back, so they don't have to make a decision on that. But if I were the Yankees...
Well, I'm making a decision for them on that.
If I were the Yankees, this dude's supposedly a season ticket holder. I would refund them all of 2025 back.
They got to revoke those season tickets. It's going to be a really bad look for the Yankees.
That is a terrible look, man.
Yeah, the Yankee fans already... You know, I'm assuming 95% of Yankee fans are just terrific baseball fans who want to go enjoy a game. But Yankee fans already have an image of being unruly and out of control. And now, when this happened last night, it's such an easy one. I feel like I'm just piling on something that's simple, but unfortunately, we have to keep piling on this because there's a lot of people that really don't see the issue here.
If it comes in our territory, we're going to play defense. What?
And that was celebrated by people laughing, like Gronkowski. Thought it was hilarious.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's been the bigger story today, which
unfortunately,
is crazy.
This World Series is going to be remembered for Freddie Freeman's home runs and those two idiots.
Man, I'm just...
I mean, do you remember, and I'm not calling this kid an idiot, but for an example, do you remember anything else about the Baltimore-New York Yankee playoff series of yore, other than Jeffrey Mayer reaching over and catching the ball?
I remember Tony Tarasco
and
losing
him arguing,
his mind
but
in
that's
right field.
It!
Yeah.
And that's going to be the same thing on this World Series 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the one where the guy tried to pull Mookie's arm off.
I mean, literally, that's what it looked like.
I know.
That's what it really looked like.
Yeah.
Just bad all the way around. Thankfully, Major League Baseball stepped in and got this one right, because it certainly seemed like the Yankees were certainly on their way to allowing these two jokers back in.
And these guys have already been told that if they try to get in on anybody else's tickets or try to get tickets in any other way, they will be on the lookout for them. They will be immediately arrested if they try to get into the stadium. Yeah. So good luck with that, guys.
All right, let's step away. We'll switch gears to the NFL. Bryant McFadden joins us, former Steeler, now CBS NFL analyst. Let's talk a little bit about some NFL and go around the league on Gwen and Chris.
I don't think you guys know the setup here in the... in the studio, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Nick DiNucci sitting in for Scraby today. But here's one of the things. You see us on the camera, et cetera, on YouTube. And if you're not into that or don't know about it, you can indeed watch the show. Go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, or just search Gwynn and Chris on the YouTube channels there. You can watch the show. Many people like that. Other people like to just, you know, keep it on the radio. So however you want to enjoy Gwynn and Chris. But one of the things here is that Tony and I are separated by my computer screen, and I kind of have to lean up to see his eyes. He has to lean up just a little bit to see me. So we don't often, you know, look face to face. But when we're talking to each other, we try to kind of strain and look. Why I'm saying that is I can't see what he's got in front of him on the desk. But whatever it is, it sure smells good.
Oh yeah,
that's all I know. I don't know what you're having over there, but I want a lot of it.
Little chicken. Chicken and rice.
Chicken? Man, does chicken it, and rice. It smells, it's, you know, anyway.
Real quick, can I give a shout-out?
Just jealous.
Shout-out to my good friend, Will Venable.
Yes!
Gets the managerial
good
job
for, him.
For the White Sox. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, but
I think
being a manager is a good thing. And
dude,
so
if he only wins 41 games next year, it's an improvement.
No kidding.
He can look at the media and go, hey, we're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, congratulations to my man, Will Venable. He's very well-deserving. He's been on his journey for a little bit now.
Yeah.
He gets to be the head honcho.
We'll have to have him on some point during the summer and ask him if he knows what he's gotten himself into. All right, we're going to do some NFL in this segment. Bryant McFadden. Played a cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers for many, many years. Actually played under Mike Tomlin. So that was an obvious place to go with this interview and other things. But now an NFL analyst for CBS Sports and really a good guy, a fun guy, and a two-time Super Bowl winning player for the Steelers back in the day. So let's take a little trip around the National Football League and our visit with Bryant McFadden. And indeed, we are talking some NFL with former NFL cornerback Bryant McFadden, played with the mostly with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now a CBS NFL analyst, CBS Radio NFL analyst. Nice enough to spend a little time with us here. And Bryant, interesting you played for the Steelers mostly because, well, this show loves the Steelers, or more specifically, this show loves Mike Tomlin, your former head coach, and he's wanted to find out a little insight. He's having a really nice season again. He's been doing it for a long, long time. Does he have the support of Bryant McFadden?
No question. No question. You talk about my support, of course, you know, being there hands-on with Coach T when I played under him. I know what type of coach he is. Number one, to be successful in the National Football League as a head coach, you have to be a leader of men. You have to be able to command a locker room. You have to be able to garnish the respect of the guys that you're coaching. He's always had that ability, and it's no surprise to see the success he's had throughout his career and most recently what he's doing this season.
Brian, you know, on those same lines, I mean, he recognized that the soft spot of this Steelers team last year was the quarterback position. They bring in Justin Fields. They bring in Russell Wilson. And it looks like Russell Wilson's going to start the season as a starter. He has a calf injury. Fields comes in, and he gets the team off to a great start. Yet Tomlin felt like there was more to be had, and he inserts Russell Wilson, and all of a sudden his offense looks like it's got some dynamic feel to it. What did you make of the quarterback change and how it's gone so far?
You know what? Honestly, I was a bit concerned because one thing I know about football, it's a rhythm-like sport, you know, and the same can be said for any sport. When you got a good rhythm and you're winning games, you don't really want to make a drastic change because you don't know if that's going to mess up the winning rhythm, the winning ingredient. So I was a bit concerned, but one thing I did say when I was asked that question the week of knowing that Mike Tomlin made that quarterback switch, I said, one thing I won't question is Mike Tomlin's football intellect. Mm. One thing I won't question is his ability to know what is best for his team. And I said, yeah, I'm a bit concerned, like most people are, because you 4-2, you make a quarterback change. You're like, what happens if Russ gets in and the offense becomes stagnant and we're losing ball games? Then you got to worry about answering that question: was that the right move? And if it derails the season, can you get over that hurdle? So I said, you know, I trust his ability to understand and know what's right, and to put his team in position to win. And so far in two games, he's looking like a genius.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about head coaches. That's why they get paid the top dollars, because they got to be willing to make decisions that most outsiders do not understand. Because you're going to get questioned. You will be questioned about those decisions, especially if it don't work. And if they do work, you still have some people looking at you with a side eye. But that's what comes with that role when you're a head coach.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin has been doing it a long time. Bryant McFadden played for him in Pittsburgh, and joining us here to talk a little NFL. And yeah, the Steelers are 6-2, but they, like everybody else, are still looking up at the top. And that's where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are. Bryant, again, two-time champs and now 7-0. You played cornerback in the NFL. How crazy would it have been to try and defend Patrick Mahomes? The thing that gets me is his ability to keep plays alive and find somebody at the last second almost every time and break your heart on defense.
He's Mr. Clutch. He's Mr. Clutch. He's a guy when you think you have him, you don't have him. He is a guy, when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you actually got to play five quarters. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because even when you have him in the fourth quarter, he provides a spark. You cannot just get complacent when you have him in the fourth quarter and think, oh, yeah, we got him. No. This is a guy, he's never out of it. You know how old saying in sports, you got to cut the head off the snake to have a shot? You literally got to cut the head off the snake. You can't slice that snake in the middle. You got to cut the head off when you're playing against Kansas City because they're never out of it. And to your point, think about this, guys. Pat Mahomes as an individual is probably having the worst start of his career, in his career this season. But they're undefeated. They're undefeated. And they're undefeated. He don't have his number one wide receiver one. He don't have his wide receiver two. They just lost Juju Smith-Schuster. They just lost their RB1 in Isaiah Pacheco. And they're still finding ways to win. That's the thing about great teams. The difference between great teams and good teams show you good flashes and sometimes bad flashes. Great teams show you great flashes and good flashes. And when they show those good flashes, they still win.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly, Chiefs certainly fit the mold there. Bryant McFadden joins us. And the other hot issue in the NFL right now is the situation out in Indianapolis. Obviously, their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, tapped out of a game. Something I think that most of us, at least who've been watching it, and I'd have to ask you on the side of playing, have never seen before. The next day, they take away his job. Now, they're certainly saying it had nothing to do with that, but what can that do to the psyche of a team to see the guy who's leading them tap out of a game? Because it doesn't seem like it could be that big of an issue, but clearly it is.
I mean, if I was on that team, I wouldn't want to make it known that I had an issue with it because you don't want to have a distraction surface, but clearly that's the issue.
Right.
Like, you played a quarterback position, and to your point, as you gave the intro into what we're talking about with the Colts, you said something that we've never seen before. Right? I don't know how much ball y'all have watched, but I've been watching ball a long, long time as a kid, as a young adult, and now as a full adult because I'm older. I've never seen a professional quarterback run 15 yards and say and tap out, because I literally thought he was injured when I saw it happen, because I was watching the game live. I literally thought something was wrong with him. I'm like, oh, boy, he's hurt again, because, you know, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. But then when he came up to the presser and you actually admitted that, that's where you know there's some growing up needs to be done, right? Because even if you were tired in that moment, you don't admit that you were tired to all of us. You could have said, I was feeling like I was going to get a cramp. I had some turf pebbles, you know, get in my eye, something. My hamstring got a little tight. You could have said any of that, and we all would have accepted that.
Yeah.
But you came up immaturely and said, oh, man, I was tired. But you never admit that you're tired. You play quarterback. And why are you tired playing the quarterback position in week 8, week 7, whatever it is? This isn't week 1. So making that statement, it didn't help him, and also playing poorly didn't help either. You know what I mean? Because I think the statement wouldn't have came off as big of an attention getter as it was if he was playing better.
Yeah. Bryant McFadden has a couple of Super Bowl rings with the Steelers. I think if Richardson would have come up to you and said, hey, I'm tired, you could have said, I can't hear you. I have my two Super Bowl rings in my ears. Just passed it off, Brian.
You know what I'd have said? Suck it up. Man, we need it, bro. Come on, what you mean? We driving, we're down. You play quarterback. You ain't wide receiver when you running 100 routes a day. Suck it up. Think about at any level of football, when you're dealing with kids, whatever the case may be, youth football. If your quarterback sit here and tell you he's tired, as a coach, what are we going to tell him? Hey, man, no, you got to play. Yeah. You play quarterback. Yeah.
What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? What do you make of him right at this stage of his career? I mean, you saw him at his greatest. I think we're seeing him at far less than his greatest now. You know, what should he do? What should the Jets do with him right now?
Well, they have nothing to answer the latter first. The Jets can't do anything with him but start him.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Because even though the season has really kind of been derailed, you still have to start him. And you got a serviceable guy behind him in Tyrod Taylor, who's played a lot of football in the league, but you still have to start him as long as he's healthy. Now, what could be done to try to revitalize their season? Number one, they got to create leadership within the building. I don't care what you're a part of. When you're a part of anything that requires multiple people to be involved for you to be successful, that's a team-oriented atmosphere.
Yeah.
You have to have leadership. You have to have leadership, and you have to have respect involved. I don't know if they have the leadership, because you know why I say that, guys? We just heard a week ago, as they got ready for the game against New England, the person who was talking to the team was Davante Adams. Davante had just got to town.
Yeah.
Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If someone mm-hmm. is going to be addressing the team, shouldn't it be someone who's been around for quite some time? Or your franchise quarterback? But instead, the person who was addressing the team was someone who just got to New York. He didn't even got a bus pass yet. He ain't been there long enough to get that.
Yes.
So I'm just looking at it from the view of teams that I was a part of, and why we were so successful was because we had leadership. We had guys that can kind of rally the troops, because coaches only can do so much when it comes to locker room leadership. Guys that can rally the troops and get everybody together and keep the morale up. That team is too good of a team on paper to be as bad as they've been on film.
Yeah, there's no question. Brian McFadden. Last thing, Brian, before I let you go, you played cornerback, and I don't know if this coincided with when you played, but were you allowed to, when you played, could you touch receivers when they were running routes? Could you bump them off the route? As opposed to today, how do any cornerbacks cover any wide receivers in the NFL?
Well, back then, and I don't want to say back then because I'm not that old, even though I'm older. And the rules were a little different when I first got into the league when I was drafted in 2005. Yeah, we can get a little more physical. We can touch them up a little bit. You know, that was the era where you come across the middle, you might get your head knocked off, took off.
Yeah.
That was that era. You know what I mean? You guys remember the highlights where we used to see on normal broadcasts where it was a routine thing. You got jacked up, you know what I mean? That used to be a segment, you know what I mean, where people watched the hardest hits of the week.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
right.
It was different then. In today's NFL world and football world in totality, you got to be very, very cautious. That's why you got to really rely on your technique and your film study. Because nowadays when you watch guys cover wide receivers, it can be accidental contact. They're throwing it. And it can be the accidental contact that doesn't really knock the receiver off his route. It's just because you touched him. How can I be penalized for accidentally touching a guy who's running 4.3 at me full speed while I'm backpedaling? Right?
Yeah.
It's not like I abruptly was physical with him. It was just accidental contact. But that's the name of the game because they want to have points. Think about this. Think about how backwards this move is, right? With the new kickoff rules where you got to either kick the ball a certain place to force them to return, or if not, you kick the ball out of bounds, they instantly get the ball to the 30-yard line. So what happens for a defense that has a 2-point lead and they instantly get the ball at the 30-yard line, looking at how good kickers have been, they get two plays, they in field goal range, basically.
Yeah.
Think about that. Like, you instantly, if you don't return the football or if your kicker doesn't kick it in the soft spot, we got great field position because we got the ball at the 30-yard line. And all we need is a field goal to win.
Damn, never do anything nice for you old defensive guys, Bryant.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I'm talking like I'm still playing. It just annoys me because I watch it, and I'm like, come on, bro. Like, they already halfway in field goal range instantly from good field position because they get the ball at the 30-yard line.
You can say it. It's soft. They're soft. that's okay. Bryant McFadden, so much fun talking to you about the NFL, and I hope we can do it again. Appreciate your time, and best of luck, continued success with your new career in the media, and thanks again for talking to us here in Southern California.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you for having me, and go Dodgers.
Uh-oh. Okay. Thanks, Bryant.
Take care.
Got to edit that out this time. There he is, Bryant McFadden from CBS Sports on the NFL. He was funny, Tony, before we brought him on. We asked, he was on his way to his son's football practice. I said, what position does he play? And he goes, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't know, cornerback? And I said, you're going to make him play the hardest position on the field? And he goes, he was backpedaling before he knew how to walk. I guess, get him in that backpedal.
Guess he sounds ready.
Yeah, he's ready. So anyway, NFL week number 9, I guess it is, gets underway tomorrow night. Jets are on primetime again, so just keep getting used to it. You know, I mean, they made the schedule with Aaron Rodgers in mind. So it's the Texans and the Jets kicking off the upcoming week of NFL football tomorrow. There is one good game on Sunday, at least one good game. Detroit and Green Bay matchup in the NFC North, which is all of a sudden like the powerhouse division in football.
They're going to beat up on each other.
Yeah.
Before this year's season's over.
6-1, 6-2. Vikings are, I think, 6-2, 5-2. And Chicago should be 5-2 if they didn't let that game get away against the Commanders. All right, we've got a Daily Gambit to kick off hour number 2. That's next. Gwen and Chris rolls on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.